Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks for being on the broadcast this evening. This is our single talk, and we are glad to be on here. I'm still waiting on my guests, and so this is what we're doing. Waiting on them to come, so it'll be just a minute, I guess. But until then, I am going to talk. I was trying to do a live feed from my Hello, hello, hello. This is, we're doing single talk. So I'm waiting on my guests to come. So they're coming here so we can do it in the studio. So that's what's going on. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get started with our live show. So we thank God for all of you that are calling in, those that are logging in, those that will listen to the broadcast later. I know I got a lot of stuff going on. I'll be trying to get home. I work way over in Fort Worth, so it's kind of, I'll be running in here. Anyway, so glad that you are joining us for Single Talk tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking to our guests. We will be talking to them about singleness today. I don't know why this ain't working today, but anyway, we're going. Oh, I ain't lying here. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Single Talk. We are doing Single Talk today. This is our little talk show for singles, and so we're going to be talking about some single stuff today. Of course, I'm waiting on my guests. They're coming here so we can be live at the same time. And so I'm waiting on them. They told me they'd be here in about 5 minutes, I guess, and we can get started. But until then, I'm going to talk about Single Talk. So, you know, I got a book coming out, and it's going to be called The Sex, the Lies, and the Soul Ties. And so it talks about, and what its purpose is to bring us back to what God intended. And so that's what God gave me, and so that's what I'll be doing, and we will be doing that. And hopefully it will be a blessing. I hope it'll be healing for some, and I hope it'll be eye-opening for some, and I hope it'll cause some to come to a place of forgiveness. But anyway, on Single Talk, what we endeavor to do is highlight our singles, so that they can be, so that we can talk about something else besides, like, we all sitting around waiting on a mate. You know, we got other stuff to do. I was talking to somebody even on my way home from work, and we were talking to one of the single brothers. And like we both said, we said, you know, we have other things to do besides sitting around waiting on if somebody going to come and say, will you marry me, or all those things. Singles have a lot going on. We have things going on. We are endeavoring to do what God has told us to do in the scripture, where the scripture tells us that we are, you know, that the singles are, let me find it in the scripture. I'm a little unorganized because I was trying to get home, and it takes so long for me to get home sometimes, and then I'm a little thrown off because my guest is not here. So all of that's going on today, but I had to come on because I had my time set. So anyway, but the Bible tells us about singleness. There's one thing about singleness is that our life is to the Lord. That's the basis for the scripture. If we go to Corinthians, the 7th chapter, we will find that passage of scripture. And so many times we're in the church, and some of the things that have been frustrating me, I'm saying what's been frustrating me, because sometimes we in the church, and sometimes the church, they act like singles are got a disease because they're single. I mean, it's some of the things that are being said that is making us feel that way. And I'm not the only one. There's a lot of singles. We get together and talk about it. Ladies talk about it. You know how they always talking about the, you know, that, you know, the singles are doing this, the singles are doing that. And then they were every time a single person comes to the office, they think they got a problem in their flesh. Not necessarily. Everybody is not having sex. Everybody is not having problems. We got other things to do. We got other things to think about. We got other things that concern us. Like, we're trying to be entrepreneurs. We're trying to have more than one stream of income. We got other things to do, so we won't work ourselves to death going from job to job. I'm over here working in the morning, over here working in the evening. We're trying to bring in other streams of income into our homes so that we can be blessed. So we got other things to think about. We ain't sitting around thinking about when our next orgasm is going to be. We sitting around thinking about, you know, Lord, how can I bring more income? How can I use the gifts that you have given me to get wealth? We thinking about that, because the Bible tells us he gives us the power to obtain wealth. So we are thinking about those things. We're not sitting around thinking about all the time how we going to get a husband or a wife. Praise the Lord. So those are some things. Ooh. Okay. I don't know why that we are not on time today. I just don't even know. But anyway, let me go on, because that's the basis of my thing is the guest. And so other than that, I wasn't planning on teaching or preaching. I was just planning on us interviewing the guest. But one of the things about, you know, I think about singing, when I think about being single, here's my scripture, 1 Corinthians 7:7, and it says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relationships, and this is in the English Standard Version, with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. That is what it says. And so it talks about that, but then it talks about for single. He says, and this is in the 8th verse of 1 Corinthians 7:8, it says, to the unmarried and the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. And that is what that's what Paul was saying. And but it also talks about us as being singles, as we are devoted to the Lord, that we're not just, you know, that our time is spent trying to do what the will of God is telling us to do, the things that God has gifted us to do. So we're not just sitting around worrying about when are we going to get a husband. I mean, you know, there's a lot of singles that are designed to be married. I desire to be married. But until that time comes, I got other stuff to do. I got ministry stuff to do. I got business stuff to do. You know, and then we got to take care of ourselves. So we have a lot of things that we have going on besides running around trying to worry about when we're going to get a mate. We have other things. Now, when it comes, it comes. But, you know, when you get over in your 50s, when you get 50-ish, you think to yourself, you know, if it comes, it comes. If not, I got other stuff I got to do. And so those are the things that we think about. But it's so many times, you know, we get offended at church because they're always talking about, you know, like singleness, like it's a disease or something. And it's not a disease. You have to be comfortable being single first before you can ever be married. You got to be comfortable with who you are, and you have to be excited about who you are as an individual and as a person. And so, you know, because that's why I tell people, when I come home, I got peace. I'm over here. I got peace when I come home. I ain't got nobody hit me in the head or none of those kind of things. I don't have to worry about those kinds of things. When I come home, I got peace. The Lord takes care of me. The Lord brings me home safely. He takes care of me over the night. He lets the angels encamp around about me. So I got peace. And so I was listening to a friend of mine. She sent me a thing today. And on this thing, it was talking about. Let me see if I can find it. It was talking about what some of the things that women should do that they should already know, and some of the things that, you know, they do that I think it was called 10 common mistakes that women make with men. And so I was listening to that, and although he had some very good points, and they were some good points, and they were true, and these are some of the things that, you know, we need to be conscious of, I think I just kind of took offense, and I think I wrote to my friend after I was listening to it, and I said, you know, what he is saying is true. But they always blame us like they are doing nothing wrong. And I think sometimes the women get blamed for a lot of stuff, like the men are not doing anything wrong. And so, but then if we begin to say the things about what the men are doing wrong, then they'll say we male bashing. And we're not male bashing. We're just speaking our truth. And then he was talking about women always talking about my clock is ticking, my clock is ticking. When women are talking about their clock is ticking, they are talking about, you know, that they want to have a family. They want to have children. They want to have these things. It's not necessarily they're talking about, oh, I got to get a husband. My clock is ticking. I got to get a husband. But they're talking about it from the perspective of, you know, their time or their time for having a family is getting less and less the older they get, and because things begin to happen different in our bodies. And, of course, men can continue to procreate, you know, continue to have a baby after with somebody, whereas women cannot, you know, after a certain time. And I know we want to go back and say, well, Eve had a baby when she was so-and-so, or, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, but that was godly divine. But if we're and it could be godly divine for us as well, because I know women that have had children over in their late 40s and even over in their early 50s. I know women that have had babies over in that time. So it's not that it can happen, but, you know, we begin to know that the likelihood is lessening as we get older. And then when we begin to go through the menopausal stage, then, of course, those things we just feel like, you know, well, we're not going to be able to do it. So those are some of the things that women begin to talk about or begin to be concerned about when it talks about our clock is ticking. But I just thought that, you know, I would come on here. My purpose of single talk is to ask or is to talk to us about good things that singles are doing. Singles are doing so much more than sitting around waiting for a mate to come and things like that. So they said they are on their way. I don't know, you know, what's going on, but so we may have to reschedule that. But that was something that I was thought we were thinking about. Next thing is, some of the things that we asked a lot of questions. We were talking about how sometimes it's offensive for singles when married people begin to talk like all we're doing is having sex, all we're doing is masturbating, all we're doing is looking at porn or porn and all those kind of things. Because most singles I know, the people I know aren't doing any of the above, at least they're not admitting to it if they are. And so, therefore, you know, that can be somewhat offensive, too, because just because that's something you did when you were single don't mean that everybody else is doing it. And then another thing that is really somewhat frustrating, too, is the fact that, they begin to, talk about things that are just not appropriate, I think, when it comes to singles. You know, singles probably make up half of the church anymore. And so there's so many topics to talk about when it comes to single talk. And so those are some of the things we're going to be doing. I wanted to have it today, and so I thought that this was going to go a little bit. But anyway, I'll keep on talking until they get here so that we can talk to our guests when they get here. But so, and then another thing is, when we were talking about it, it's one thing when you plan to interview somebody and then you have to just kind of mumble on. I wasn't planning to do that. I planned to have an interview. So one of the other things about being single is that we have to really begin to make sure that we are found doing the things that we are doing. A lot of times we want mates and things like that, and then what are we really bringing to the table are some of the things that we need to think about as single people. What are you bringing to the table? You know, as a wife, when the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing, what does it mean for you to be a wife? What does that mean, single ladies? What does that mean? Do I have the skill set to be a wife? Do I have what it takes to be a wife? Am I going to be able to? It's more to it than just the sex. You know, can you make your house a home and not just a house where, you both of you dwell? Is it a home? Has it been, is it a home? Can you cook something? I know the modern day one that everybody want to go out and eat, but that ain't always the thing. Don't nobody want to eat restaurant food every day, because first of all, it ain't good for you. And then the next thing, are you taking care of yourself? Those are some of the things we need to be considering while we're waiting on to be found. And the same thing with men, while you're waiting, because there's a lot of... Who is that? Oh, I'm sorry. See? Oh, okay. Hold on, my guest is here. Okay, so I got my guest here finally. He was knocking at the door. He said, "Been out there." I didn't hear because I was on the phone. Nevertheless, here we are with the. Get in here. We can see you. Okay, there you go.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing tonight?
How you doing? I don't know if nobody on here with us or not, but anyway.
Okay. Well, whoever ain't on here, how you doing anyway?
So we're on here. We want to talk about being single and today and what that means to us as single people. And for him, he's now single. He was once married, and so he has children. He's a girl dad and a boy dad because he does have a son. But he has three girls and some grandkids and all those kind of things. And so we just want to talk to you about those kind of things. And we're going to talk in a minute about the transition from being married to single and how all of that. How do you feel about that from a male perspective? Because we know what sometimes some of the females go through in that situation. And then I also want to talk to you about the friendship that you and your ex-wife still have, because I think that's important, because when people are going through divorce, it's so much foolishness and bitterness and anger,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then especially when you have children, how do you remain friends and not be going all off on the deep end, acting a fool, and bringing so much drama to the family unit just because you all couldn't get along? But how do you remain a friend? Talk about that.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Hello,
for coming.
Everybody out there. Friends, me and my ex-wife, we started off as friends before we got married, and we vowed that we would be friends after the marriage. So we still have children that are in college, and we just have to co-parent together the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense for us to be at each other's throats. You know, it's not like we're the War of the Roses. You know, if you remember that movie, you know,
yeah,
we're just at each other's throats,
throwing
plates and everything. And but it really does come down to a respect thing. You know, I
mm-hmm.
still respect her, and she still respects me, and I still respect her as the mother of my children. And we don't have any issues. You know,
mm-hmm.
we deal with each other with kindness, and it's an individual choice. You know, some people just got to, I'm going to just be at your throat just because we're not together, and
mm-hmm.
and just going to try to make it, make their ex miserable for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Sometimes people just don't want to let stuff go.
Right.
So that's just how I choose to deal with, being, in that situation with my ex.
Right. And I think that's so awesome there, because they are good friends, and I think that makes such a difference. And I told them, I said, they probably need to do a show, because sometimes people just need to hear how that can work out better than being each other's throat and hating one another and causing the kids to have to choose and all that kind of stuff like that. It's not good for the children. I don't care at what age they are. It's not good for the children.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the things that people need to think about that are going through divorce. How can we come to a place where we can still, co-parent these children and not have them affected by my bitterness or I'm not bitter, but by that person's bitterness or their anger or their frustration because they're going through a divorce? Because divorce can be a situation that can be hurtful.
Absolutely.
And so you have to go through all those kind of things. Now let's talk about you being a girl dad. I want to talk about that for a minute, since that's a topic that's been circling around because of the late Kobe Bryant and
yeah.
him being such a girl dad and those things like that. And so then men begin to come out everywhere and say, I'm a girl dad, or the girls was putting their posts and saying they're a girl dad. But you have a son and three girls. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Girl dad, I'm definitely a girl dad. I have three of them, and I love them dearly, and I try my best. I have two in college, and the other one that's raising two wonderful grandchildren of mine, which I love, and she's doing an absolute great job. She's a single parent as well, so I do my best to try to help her as
mm-hmm.
well, financially or whatever. She just moved into her home place, so me and her mom actually came together and helped furnish their apartment and things like that. That's
mm-hmm.
just what good parents. I'm not going to let my – if I see my children trying to make an effort, then I will – if they make one step, I'll take two for them.
Mm-hmm.
And because they might not make as much money as we do, but if we're in a position to help them, you know, then, you know, that's our family. You know, why not? You know what I mean? So as far as, you know, my other girls, you know, all of them, we're all close. They all love their dad. I love them. That's never going to go away. I mean, just because me and the mom are not together, you can divorce your spouse, but you can never divorce your children.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's, you know, that I say that to everybody out there in cyberspace land, wherever you guys are. You know, just because you go through a divorce does not mean that you have to stop loving your children or being there for your kids.
Right.
You know, don't stop going to their soccer games, basketball games. You know, they need your support. They need your love. And I really feel as though that my kids still feel that I love them dearly.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that answers your question.
That answers the question.
Okay.
That answers the question. Now, let's talk about Steve Ward, the musician. You just did a piece that you wrote, a tribute to Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
You did that, and it's out there. And I know it's on my page, and it's on his page, Steve Ward, so go look for that.
Steve Ward, yes.
And so it was an awesome tribute to the late Kobe Bryant. And,
yeah.
And so let's talk about that for a minute, how that came about and what prompted you to do that.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Back when Trayvon Martin passed away, I wrote a song. Originally, the song, and Tyler Perry doesn't even notice. Tyler Perry's like my hero. You know, I love it. I met him one time, but I, you know, it's my big. Anybody that knows me, it's my dream is to work with Tyler Perry one day.
Mm-hmm.
But when Tyler Perry lost his mom, you know, I actually wrote a song called "Weeping May Endure," and I wanted to send it to him, but then fear set in, and I never sent it to him because I thought that he probably won't get it anyway. So anyway, long story short, you know, the Lord just laid on my heart to write something for Kobe. Me and my team, my crew, West Dawn Production, shout out to everybody out there. We all got together and we said we want to put this thing together. And I, you know, sat down, wrote the lyrics, wrote the music to it, played it. See, everybody knows me as Bishop Bucky, but they don't really, the masses don't really know me as a musician.
Right.
You know, and I will put some worship stuff together for you. And you know that.
Yeah.
I will put some worship stuff together for you real quick.
Exactly.
So this particular tribute is, it's actually going pretty viral, like pretty fast. So, you know, y'all need to get out there and check it out. It's on my page, Steve Ward, a tribute to Kobe Bryant, West Dawn Productions, and click on it and share it and like it because it's getting a lot of love. And shout out goes out to the Bryant family and, you know, and the eight others who lost their lives in that, you know, tragic accident, man, you know. And I just pray, we all just pray peace. And you know, in times like this, we need to, you know, respect families.
Exactly.
You know, when they go through, you know, when they go through these tragedies and don't be disrespectful and, you know, say stupid, silly stuff and, you know, make it all about you. But I'm not going to get on a soapbox. But, yeah, so to answer your question, yes, I did write a really nice, beautiful, powerful song.
Beautiful, yeah.
For Kobe Bryant. And so I just pray that it blesses you all if you get a chance to listen to it.
Yes, it was awesome. And then tell us about some of your other musical things that you do. Because I know you, he's a drummer too, so he plays the keyboards and the drums, so he does both of those things. So he's just a musician, grew up in the church. Talk about that a minute.
Yeah, grew up in the, actually up in the Delaware area, moved to Texas back in 2004. Grew up, I started playing drums around about age six. And one thing, you know, my mom and my dad, they saw that I had a talent early, and they invested in it. And that's a very key point right there. If you notice that your kids have a talent, invest in it. You know, at first, you know, they brought me a set of drums. It was just noise, bang, 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 bang. But eventually that noise started turning into, you know, beats and you know, rhythm and timing, good timing and everything. So just go back to what I just said earlier, you know, being there to support your kids. So my mother and my father were there to support me, to help me cultivate my gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they bought me the expensive instruments and everything, you know, so I can, you know, and that's what I did. I stayed out of trouble as much as I could. I'm no angel here. But a lot of times you found me either on a basketball court or, you know, or in church. You know, my mother used to ride past and she would honk the horn, and I knew that horn distinctively because it was a little beep horn. And so that would let me know, hey, it's time to come home, get your shower, you know, we're ready to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So we're running full court basketball, and I'm like, yo, I got to go, fellas. And they're like, yo, man, where you going? Where you going? I said, man, I got to go to church. Oh, man, bye, church boy. But you know what? I'm glad I did that because, you know, a lot of my homies, you know, either are dead or in jail or whatever, you know what I mean, you know, whatever path
mm-hmm.
they chose for life. But, you know, I was a church boy and still am a church boy, and I love playing the keyboards and I love playing the drums. So that's me. That's my life today.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And so tell us about the worship, because you like to write worship music and you like to – that's a space you get in. I've been knowing him for a little while, so that's why I could talk about it from a little different perspective. But that's the space you get in that worship space, and you love it. I've seen you get to that space.
To me, it's intimate for me. I learned how to worship actually when I went to a ministry called Fight for Families Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know anything about worship until I went there. And you know, I come from a church where, you know, it was praise. Which is cool. I mean, that's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
shouting,
you know. But you know, I was seeking something, you know, different. I wanted to just hear more than just shouting, shout music, and
mm-hmm.
you know. So the Lord just began to cultivate my ear and just let me hear different things. And you know, I love strings, I love pianos, I love smooth sounding things that's going to permeate the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
In order for God to move. So. Worship I use as it's like my drug. Worship is my crack, my alcohol, my whatever. Certain people may resort to those
mm-hmm.
no, and I'm not no pun intended, but you know, that's what I do. You know, a lot of times I come home and the first thing I do is turn my keyboard on and I just start
mm-hmm.
Just playing things and just sitting there and just allow God to just speak to my heart and just compose, you know, really nice worship songs, you
mm-hmm.
know, from start to finish. So that's what I love to do. It's like my favorite pastime.
So now let's talk a little bit about let's talk about the comedian.
Okay. That dude, okay.
That dude right there, that all comedian.
Right.
The bishop.
The bishop. If y'all have not seen the bishop, I just want y'all to know that dude is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's different, you know. He's not a stand-up comedian, you know. He's a character.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop is, first of all, let me put this out there. The bishop is never out to make fun of any preachers or church or ministry or nothing like that, or to mock God or anything like that. I have enough respect for God and the people of God, you know, not to do anything like that.
Right.
But the character, you know, with so many people going through so much, you know, it's a lot of sad people out there.
Yes.
And so I developed this character, you know, just to help bring a smile to people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm happy on the inside of me. So in order to do something like that, I have to bring that happiness inside of me, you know, outside of me to make others laugh,
mm-hmm.
you know, and help them forget about their whatever it is, their crappy day that they're going through. Boss might be getting on their nerves, husbands, wives, whatever, you might be having issues at home or whatever, but when you come to one of my comedy shows, you know, you're going to get a good laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a good laugh. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that to brag, but the bishop is a riot.
Yeah.
You know that because you've been in quite a few of my shows.
Yeah, I've been in quite a few of the shows, yeah.
And she is hilarious. Y'all got to come see Mother Pearl in my shows.
Mother Pearl.
Mother Pearl be cutting up.
And I'm affectionately known as Mother Pearl. That's what they call me.
That's right. And I remember that one sermon we preached. What did we preach? Pay me what you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
That we went from first money to from first OJs
uh-huh.
one and one. And she said, money. Some people
got to
have it. Man.
Yeah.
That preset thing, man, we had them people laughing.
It was so much fun. I mean, I had so much fun doing that with him. And he was actually doing a video. And he had us come, and it was amazing. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed myself doing that.
Absolutely. And I'm actually planning on doing another show here pretty soon. You know, starting to work on some material for another live recording. So, you know, it's time.
And so things are starting to come out. And these things, and so how did that, you developed that character actually during a crucial time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was birthed out of that particular time in your life when things were going a little different. I mean, they were going, you were, you know, and so you, that laughter began to heal what was broken.
Yes. That's a great point. At the time, you know, I was going through a pretty rough time in my, you know, in my life, and I just decided that, hey, I wanted to create something to minister to me, and, you know, to help me laugh at my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. So I said, you know, I got to minister to myself first before I can make somebody else laugh. So, you know, me and my kids were out in the garage one day, and I just came dressed up, looking like old caveman, you know. You know, Bucky doesn't look anything like he did, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago when he first started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's more calmed down and relaxed now. I look like a caveman, but I still look crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
with the hair and everything.
Man, it's just crazy. But
he turns that on, and I mean, that's a whole different person than from what he really is.
Mm.
And so to see him turn into that person is some. I mean, it's like the switch gets flipped, and
right.
He just turns into
right.
this person.
Exactly. And I love it so much. You know, it's like I see why Tyler Perry really, really gets into Madea. He loves that character. You know, it's like once you get into that character, you can relax, you can have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I see why it's so fun to him.
Yeah.
You know, because I love doing Bishop Booker. You know, because I know at the end of the day, I'm gonna touch somebody's heart with laughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what makes a difference to me because, you know, one time I was doing a show, and you never know who you're touching. You know, and this one guy was saying that, he actually waited for me. He said, man, I'm glad that I came to your show because I was going to kill myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said, man, I was going to kill myself, man. But, you know, you made me laugh so hard today. You made me want to live,
so I can laugh.
And
that's
more.
What it's about
right there.
Right. And that's the thing about people don't understand, because sometimes it's hard to do comedy in the church because
Absolutely. The
church people are so judgmental and they're sitting there thinking, you know, and with being a Christian comedian, you're not cussing,
right.
You're not doing that, and at the end of the day, cussing is funny. I know people think, oh, they all that cussing, but sometimes that is the punchline of it, and it is comical.
It is.
But we have to do that without those types of things, and so sometimes it's difficult because people just be sitting there looking, because if they don't know where you're coming from, they don't know how to respond to it.
Right.
And so it's difficult, but still, at the end of the day, when you do comedy in the church, you want it to have, first of all, you want it to minister to the people.
Right.
And so you seek God, too, on what do you want me to present?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to present? Because you want it to have a message in it as well.
Right.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's up, Tim? How you doing, girl? Yeah, you're right. So, what's your next question?
Oh, well, my next question is I want to also talk about, okay, I want to talk about this because I was having this discussion with somebody else. Because we're talking about, okay, I was talking about before you came about singleness and how sometimes married people are making single people feel like that we got some kind of disease or something about being single.
Right.
And, you know, there's something wrong with us and everything's right about them and something's wrong with us. And even to the point that maybe what they were doing before they got married, they want to put those things on single people. Like somebody was praying and they said, you know, help bless the singles to stop fornicating, bless the singles to stop masturbating,
mm-hmm.
bless the singles to stop looking at pornography and all those same things. And I'm thinking, well, none of the singles I know is doing none of the, you know, they're not doing that. So maybe that's your own, that was what you were doing before you got married, and then once you got married, then you think everybody else is doing it. And so so sometimes we don't even consider some things, like when you're going through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and you're used to being intimate, and you're used to, you know, you had a good sexual relationship with your spouse, And then people just, so I don't know if they just think, well, I can just turn that off and go back right then to being celibacy. How difficult is that been for you as a man?
Oh, yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's definitely a, it's definitely been tough.
Oh, she said ain't no sound.
Yeah, so what's going on with that?
I don't know. You mean we've been doing all that talking, ain't been no sound? What's up here? Can you hear us now?
Let me get my phone and go live and turn to me.
Yeah, I can go live too because I'm right here. Oh, we've really been talking. Okay, here. Okay, we've been on here talking on this computer, and I guess our live feed wasn't getting us, so we're going to go, we starting our live over. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're on the phone now. Can you see us on there? I'm on. Oh, that's what it is. Oh. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, well, let me have that those earphones so I can turn them off because that might be causing a problem. Yeah. Oh, these are your earphones.
Yeah, those are mine.
Okay, everybody, can you see what she say? Wait. Oh, that's you. Okay. We're going to get off of I wonder, did I need a speaker? Is that what
I would say keep on going because I can hear you on mine.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And so don't stop. Just keep on going.
We'll just keep both of them going and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Oh, wow, see that we've been talking all this time with no sound. But anyway, I'm going to move that over there for you because I'm listening to you more than I can see you. All right, so we still doing our can you hear us now? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get this live the sound in.
Yeah.
Because when I do my other music.
Okay,
well, let's keep going. And so I hope that, well, we can hear on, we can hear us on the broadcast part of it. So that's on we're on there. So we'll at least have the audio from that if we don't have it on the live feed. I hate that, but we'll try to see who. I'll see if I can find somebody to piece it together. How about that?
So well, if not, we have to do it over.
We'll just have to do it over. So we'll probably be on here next week doing what?
Single time.
So we can get it together. Anyway, I wanted to talk about, we were talking about you being, going from singleness, I mean married to singleness, and what is that transition being like? Or the intimacy or that part of things?
It's been very hard, difficult, to be honest with you. And that is something that you have to deal with. You know, you have to deal with the choice and the decision that you made, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be single. As for me, I choose not to go out and you know, have multiple women and things like that because that's just not good. You know, it's not good and it's not healthy for you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know, you get something that you can't get rid of.
Right, can't
you know?
Get rid of. It ain't no, it can't get no salve and rub on it and let it go away. Yeah,
nah,
you don't want that.
Nah, they got stuff that'll cling to you now.
Right.
They got the
it ain't like it used to be.
Mm-mm. Nah, they got what they got. They got super. I know we can. They got the super gonorrhea going on now. That disease, particular disease, laughs at antibiotics. So you can't get nothing for that. So once you get that thing, hey.
Right.
So.
And so it's more to it than just the AIDS virus anymore. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on that you don't want to get a hold of.
I know that's right.
Right. So you got to keep it clean.
There you go.
Keep it clean. And then the thing about, and then what about this? Because a lot of times, single women, they know, oh my God, he's going to be single in a minute, and they pounce. They come at you. And then, so what has that been like? Because, just because somebody is getting a divorce does not mean they're ready for marriage again. Or if they'll ever be ready for marriage. A lot of men don't even want to be married, period, no more.
Yeah, people want to pounce and everything, but, the more women that you have in your life, the more drama you're going to have, because women drink, not all y'all, but, a lot of y'all bring a lot of drama. You can't get hold of your feelings and that cattiness inside you, So I just decide to just the less people I keep, the more people I keep away from me, the less drama I have.
Yeah, because it can be dramatic. Because women can be dramatic, and men can be dramatic. Now, for the women on the other side of things, okay, we probably gonna have to do this one over so we can. What's she saying? She's there. Oh, we can hear now. Okay, thank you, Lord. So anyway, we've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I'm sad that you couldn't hear on the live feed on that computer.
We might have to do it over.
Do it over and just start over because we had some good stuff we was talking about. But even now, okay, so when we think about that from that perspective of going from marriage to singleness, that can be a little rough. And people think you ought to be able to turn from being intimate on a regular to being celibate just automatically. But that's a process even mentally to go through.
Yes, it is. And y'all can be celibate if you want to, but, God is still working on me. can we get a real honest saint, but it is a hard process. That's all I can really say today. It's hard, it's hard.
Yeah, and so Elder Tiffany, she's coming from the other on the female side of it. She went from being married to being divorced. And just knowing that. And then I even remember, sometimes like when you're a married woman and you go and you get a divorce, how the men begin to approach you because they know that you were married, you were used to being intimate and those kind of things. And then all of a sudden here come they come approaching you. You trying to process the divorce. You ain't even trying to get into that. Here they come trying to get with somebody because they think, you've been used to getting it. You're going to want to get it. You're going to still want to get it. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, a lot of men think that you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're hurting. Let me slide in. She needs somebody to hold her and console her and all that type of stuff. And they just trying to get in to get
some twat.
To get some of the cookies and everything. So.
Yeah, I call it cookies.
I call
it twat.
You can't be calling it that.
Yes, I can. That's what I call it. If you hear me, I'm gonna call it twat.
Okay. All right. But it's definitely a situation. When you go from married to being single, and it's not easy, but you can do it. You can do it. If you focus. A lot of times I channel my. That's why I channel a lot of my energy on music and entertainment and things like that. And a lot of times I don't. You would think me being single, I would go out every Friday night. I would go to the clubs. I would do this. I would do that. But I don't.
Mm-mm.
9 times out of 10, you're gonna find me in a church service somewhere.
Yeah, because you're going live all the time from church.
I'm always live. Church is me. Church is inside of me. That's just what was put inside of me. I'm. I'm a church boy forever. And it's nothing that you can do to change that. The club scene is not my thing. And, you know, me and my partner, now me and my partners, we may go, because I love music so much, we might go and catch the live bands, and, you know, because there's some great musicians out here in Dallas. So we would go and, you know, listen to a lot of, like, the live bands and listen to all the drummers and keyboard players and bass players. So every once in a blue moon I might go out and check out a band, but for the most part I'm not doing anything on a Friday or a Saturday, you know.
So let me ask you this question, because, you know, so you came up in the church. You was a good-looking young man. Was you a Pentecostal playboy?
Does fish need water to swim? Is the sky blue? Is the sky up in the sky? Yeah, I ain't going to lie. You know, can I get a real saint here? Can I get somebody to tell the truth? Yeah, you know, I was a Pentecostal playboy. Yes, I was. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
It's funny because they would show up in the temple.
Man.
They were there. And so that's what we call them, Pentecostal playboys.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
They was running the women.
Me, my Jerry curls. See, I had a Jerry curl back in the day.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I had one of them California curls, you know. So, you know, I just knew I was ready for the world. You know, I was ready for the world. So I had that joker all the way down to my neck. And, you know, that thing was curly. And I used to spray my juice on that thing. Man, I'll tell you, man, I just knew I was the ish with that, you know.
My Lord.
My Lord.
My Lord.
I smell ammonia.
Okay. But I tell you, in the church, it's fun being single. I've been single all my life, but. Anyway, and you know what? But let's talk some real talk about even that.
Okay.
Because for me, you know, I had my mind made up. I said I wasn't having no sex until I got married because I didn't want to have no babies out of wedlock and yada, 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 yada. And then, so you're waiting and you're trying to do it God's way, and then nothing. You don't get no prospects. You know, nobody asking you to marry. You know, well, I guess I could have been married. I ain't going to tell that lie because it was something in the pipeline. But, you know, I was the kind that if I felt like I could run over you, then I felt like you wasn't the one for me.
Yeah.
Because I needed somebody that could not control me, but somebody that I knew could be the head of the household, I'll say that. Why you looking at me like that? Wait a minute. Because, and I'll say it this way, because, you know, I had a friend of mine. This is funny. I have a funny story. So I had a friend of mine, and so you know, I'd be in there running my mouth, and I'd be going off and getting mad about them, yada, yada, yada. I'd be getting them told, getting them straight.
Mm-hmm.
And all they would do was call my name, Denise. They called about three times, but that third time I knew it was time for me to shut up.
Right. Right.
So that's why I would know it was time for me to shut up. They called me that third time. I knew it was time to shut up. And they weren't hollering and screaming at me. They were just calling my name.
Right.
But I knew it was time to shut up. Get
right.
somewhere and sit down and shut up and
right.
stop talking.
Right.
Because it's unnecessary. What you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was valid but unnecessary. How
right.
about that?
Right.
And so I knew that. And so when they would call my name, I'd get to shutting up. But, you know, and so like I was talking about earlier, how I think I was talking about this before you came, there's a man that wrote a book, and somebody, they sent me this today. And so they were talking about the 10 things that women need to learn about men.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things was they said that, you know, women, you can't have sex with a man and think he's going to turn around and marry you. And
right.
then they said it was a whole bunch. He had a whole bunch of things, and not that his points weren't valid, not that it wasn't what was real. You know what? All of it was valid, but at the same time, where's the control for the men? It seems like they blame the women for everything,
mm-hmm.
and the men get off scot free. Where is those conversations with the men about some of that pursuit, that hunt? I done had men, and they know they married. I had a man, I was on Facebook, all of a sudden I got a call on my phone. I'm like, who the heck is this?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Facebook call.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how they do that because I have no idea.
Right.
But he was trying to tell me how beautiful I was and all of these kind of things he was talking about. And I'm thinking to myself, who the heck are you? First of all, so then I went to his page. He on the page cutting cake with the wife.
he's bold to do something like that, you know. Yeah, you got a lot of men out here that are married that will still try to shoot their shot at you.
Well, it's going to be a poem about him in Sex, Lies, and Soul Ties. It's in its title. So if you remember, it's Why the Wife is Way on Video Chat You Play. That's the name of the poem.
Right.
I mean, I wrote about it. You know, some of these things, people do some stuff to me, I go to writing about it. I'm going to write about you. So, you know, when you deal with a writer, be careful because they might write about you.
They might write about you. Don't become somebody's poem.
I'm going to become somebody, but he's my poem and that's the title of it. While the Wife is Away on Video Chat You Play.
Right.
And so that to me is terrible. And so I was like, you know, and I will check you on that. I'm saying, well, where's your wife going to be when all this is going on?
Yeah, where's she going to be?
Yeah, because that she needs to be in the picture because otherwise, and I don't mean for no threesome either. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to be going out with and the one you need to be chatting with is her, not me.
Right.
Because I don't have time for that. Because first of all, to me, now that is drama.
That is drama.
And Denise don't do drama.
You want somebody to show up at your house? You know, in the middle of the night, throw a brick through your house, through your window while you sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No,
mess with that hook.
Thank you. I don't do drama, and so I don't come for me because I don't want it. I had a man at the airport one time, and he was saying, he said, hey, where you going and where's your man at? I said, well, I don't have one, you know. So he went on that pursuit, right?
Yeah.
And so then he said, he said he was a married man. I said, well, you know, I don't do that, you know. I'm a church girl, you know,
right.
So I'm trying to do things right.
Right.
And then that's when he told me he was a married. He said, well, what church you go to? And I told him what church I went to. He said, I go to the same church.
Really? So he knew better then, huh?
He knew better. And so then he kept talking. I said, Lord, please. You know, I go to praying because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I said, Lord, please let him leave me alone so I won't let him have the Jesus. Because, you know, I got to pray Niecy don't come out at that point.
Niecy will definitely come out.
Oh, okay. She said, okay. So anyway, yeah, I'm trying to let him stay in the picture. I'll come over just a little. And so, but, yeah. So I try to not let Niecy come out because, you know, some of that stuff frustrates me
right. When
people are pursuing you and they know they have no business talking to you because they have a wife at home. Stay home with your wife. Don't be coming over here trying to make my life miserable.
Right.
I like having peace. I like coming home having peace. So I don't want to be in that kind of drama. I do not care. If I've got to be single, then let me be single. But I sure don't want to be nobody else's. I'm not going to be second.
Right.
That's not what I'm going to. My mother said to me, this is what she said. She said, Niecy, she said, now you're a big girl. She said, but that don't mean you got to take anything. That's what she told me.
Right.
And I mean, I have carried that in my heart and my mind forever. And somebody telling me I'm cute don't mean nothing to me because my daddy told me that years ago when I was about three.
Right.
And I
remember
that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't worry about that. And so my thing is that, you know, but we get blamed for a lot of stuff.
Right.
If they knew, because they always talk about that the single woman is giving the married women bad advice. No, we're not. Half the time when the married women call us and start talking about their husbands because they tell us that they're beating them over their heads. Of course, we go, our natural response is to tell them to get out of the situation.
Right.
Like one time I had a young lady come to me and I told her, I said, you know, I'm not married, so I don't advise married people because I'm not married.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she went on and kept asking the question. And so she said that she was newly married, and she said that her husband was in the military, and that he was. She said she got dragged across the floor the night before. That's what she told me.
Wow.
And they were getting ready to leave to go overseas because he was, you know, he had to go, you know, they had to in the military, so he had to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, but I don't know what I'm gonna do. I said, well, I don't advise married people. This is what I told her. I said, but I'm going to tell you what I wouldn't do.
Right.
I would not go overseas with nobody that's been dragging me across the floor over here in America because then I'm away from my family.
Right.
I'm away from people that can help me because she said she called the military police.
Mm-hmm.
They came, but they were kind of more protective on his side
and then
really dealing with the situation at hand. And so then I'm thinking if you go over there and you're going to Germany, someplace like that, and you over there and that's all, you know, you in the midst of all that, then what's going to happen? But I told her my advice. I said, that's what I wouldn't do. I said, but my advice to you is to find somebody, go to so-and-so. I think I told her who to go to, because they are married and they could be able to advise you more better than I could, because I'm not married and I don't really like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the things that we, you know, we have to deal with. But I'm wise enough, praise the Lord,
yeah,
to be able to give you some good common sense,
mm-hmm,
a common sense answer. And I'm getting this from Minister Henry, because he just has a common sense answer as well as biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm wise enough to do. And so, but I don't advise married women. But I have advised some. Now, over the years, I have. I remember another situation. Somebody, they were in a situation where, you know, there was a little infidelity. And so they were talking about, I'm leaving, I'm done. And so I had to ask the question. I said, well, can I ask a question? And I just asked this question. And I said, has he been a good husband? Has he been a good father? And they said yes. I said, well, I would think about that leaving before. I would think about all of that before I just bounce out and leave. I said, because, yeah, the trust level right now is at zero. So he got to regain that back. But I wouldn't just give up on my marriage that quick. And so many times people don't consider the other side of it or the good things that are already in place before they just say, I'm done with the situation, period. Now, and so, and they are still married today.
Okay.
And been married for a lot of years. And so you have to consider some things when you begin before you just say, oh, I'm done with it. You know, have you really tried to work through situations and have you done? So talk about that.
Let's, you know, you said something about infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly don't condone it.
Mm-mm.
But let's talk about infidelity here briefly,
because
I'm hot and I'm burning up. And so
you hot for the,
like hot. So
need the fan.
I don't know, but we're good for now. But
okay.
So you have to look at what, you know, it's not always the man's fault.
Mhm.
And it's not always the woman's fault. When someone cheats in a marriage, you have to look at why they're cheating. What are you not doing as a husband to make your wife want to cheat? And vice versa, what are you not doing as a wife to make your husband want to cheat? If you guys were intimate a lot before the marriage,
mm-hmm,
during the marriage is not the time to slow it down.
Right.
You know, if you were cute, you know, and you smell good, you look good, you had your hair done and all that stuff, then we as men, we're going to want to see that when we're married to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get lackadaisical on just putting your hair in a ponytail every day, and, you know, you used to get your nails done. And so you still have to do the things that attracted you to your mate.
Right.
And attracted your mate to you, because it's so much going on out here in the world. I mean, you know, these little Pop-Tarts, man, they ain't playing. You know,
right.
You know, I call young girls Pop-Tarts. They ain't playing. And they after your man.
Mm.
So, and they know when you're not being taken care of at home, because they can, it's just something, they can pick it up.
Right.
And, you know, they be like, what she ain't doing? You know, the more you start talking, you start, you know, revealing stuff. Now, next thing you know, y'all don't switch numbers and, you know, hey, if you want to be friends. So you just have to, you know, you got to seal those cracks. You know,
mm-hmm,
whatever you're not doing, that's going to make your husband or your wife, you know, it can go both ways,
mm-hmm,
go out there and seek attention. You got to fix that.
Exactly. You got to fix that.
You got to fix that.
So we're out of time because our broadcast has come to an end. We've been on here for an hour, but we're going to come back and do it again because of the us not being able to be heard and stuff like that, because he said a lot of good things prior to on the silent end. So we were silent, so we're gonna come back
and
do it again, so we can just do it again, and so you can hear all the things he said about being a girl dad, all the things he said about the friendship that him and his ex-wife shares at this point. And so he said some good stuff. But thank you so much for joining us. We thank you for joining in, and we thank you for all of those that logged in, called in, and those that will look at this broadcast later. But we'll be back to do it again so we can do it right. All right, have a good day.
Have a good one. Thank you all so much for having me, my pearl.
Yes.
All right.
Single talk. You know, for all these kids. Stewart.